What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. I fucking crushed that
one. You crushed that.
I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller.
That was insane.
One of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one.
It's me.
At Tim Geddes.
Let's him host.
How are you, sir?
I'm a mixed bag of emotions right now. On one hand, Gen 8 of Pokemon revealed. On the other hand, I've been up since like 5:30 trying to get this video of me live reacting up, and God, Nintendo does not want to play nice on YouTube.
Yeah,
but you know what?
No.
That's okay.
Right before we went live, Jim Sterling tweeted that he got his unblocked, and I asked him how, and he said, I started the dispute process, and then it had a lot of follow-up questions that we did not have time for. As Kevin said, I'm turning the mics on.
Yeah.
So it's not filed. That's on you after this.
Okay.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
File
man.
It and fight it. Mm-hmm. It's very, because it's
file
a video that needs
finish
to be seen
fight.
Of you watching this Pokemon Direct, because it's you whispering.
I'm hype. Very quiet.
You're very hype about but whispering. And
whispering.
Hypeness.
Yeah. I do start singing Firestarter at some point.
You do. You do. That is something that did happen. I did not miss that. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Over there, you can ask your questions, be part of the show, add your bad PSN names, everything else under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record it live at twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames or roosterteeth.com and everybody listening on podcast services around the globe. Today we're going to be covering, of course, Pokemon Sword/Shield getting revealed, the Evo lineup, and what the fuck THQ Nordic was thinking. Here's some housekeeping for you. Thank you to Patreon producers Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Starkey, Mohammed, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Quip and Harry's, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get right into a very big, healthy, what is and always will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Six items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
That was one of your best of all time, Kevin. I appreciate the energy. Number one, Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield are real, Tim Geddes. You woke up early, the thing you hate the most.
Oh my God, that is
there's
very
nothing more you hate
than waking up early.
Exactly. So what do we know? We got Gookie, Scorbunny, and Sobble.
Gookie.
All in the Galar region. It's Galar all coming region. This fall.
There you go. We got our new three new starters.
Yeah.
As is tradition, a new region. It's vague Europe. I'm also the least educated when
it
comes
right
to geography and stuff. Yeah, I know that. But
okay.
Like, there's like certain people being like, okay, well, that's clearly London based on certain landmarks and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who are like, okay, but there's Scandinavian influence here. But then there's people like, oh, well, Stonehenge is there. So it's like there's a lot of stuff going on. We'll see. It might be a hodgepodge mismatched somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll see. Traditionally, the games have kind of been all over the world. The first couple generations were in various regions of Japan. Mm-hmm. And then we've seen Paris. We've seen America kind of boiled down to around New York. We've seen Hawaii recently with Sun and Moon. So this... some type of Europe, right? This definitely is the Gen 8. This feels like a step up for Pokemon. This does feel like it's not just a prettier Sun and Moon.
Okay.
This looks like a console experience Pokemon like we've never seen
so
before.
The big question is, where are you on the hype scale? Because that was a question leaving yesterday. You were prepared to be underwhelmed. I thought you might be overwhelmed. Where are you?
I'm closer to overwhelmed than whelmed.
Okay.
I am not like over the moon because there's still a couple key things that I wish we would have seen.
Lay them on me.
I was talking yesterday about the types for the starters.
Sure. Yeah.
Didn't
this
get
is
it.
Still at fire.
Another,
grass,
it's another fire, grass, water. And also the starters, they didn't speak to me. None of
what?
Them.
You didn't like these weird little baby things that are all weird and creepy and climbing out of water?
They're fine. I mean, definitely Scorbunny's my boy.
If
I had to go. But it was like it wasn't like a by default. Like I saw him and I'm like, yeah.
I got to go with Grookey. Come on now.
Yeah.
You're
going Grookey?
He looks creepy as fuck and that's what I want.
Man, you
give
want
me
little,
a creepy little guy crawl up inside
type?
You while he
that's
fights
weird.
You. You know what I mean? Well, grass, as you know, can defeat rocks very easily, which I appreciate because it makes no sense.
So I... when it comes to the starters, it's like, you know, we're now eight generations in of these three elements.
Sure.
Doing their thing, various versions. And I just feel like more so than ever, these just kind of feel like palette swapped or like parts, physical parts mixed and matched from previous generations. Gotcha. We've seen a monkey before.
Yeah.
It's like, are we really going to do this again? And again, this sounds nitpicky, but it's like this all contributes to kind of the samey feeling that that people talk about with Pokemon. And it would have been nice to mix it up. And the types would have went a long way to do that. Because it's, again, I was saying this yesterday, it's not just, oh, the type that you're starting with would be different, so the game's different. It's like throughout the progression of the game, you'd have to experience different type matchups earlier on because you are a psychic type or a ghost type, which would have different, because the game's obviously scaled to make you face opponents that are easier for you to defeat early on and all that. It looks beautiful. This, it's definitely like very impressive. I think it's the strongest art style a Pokemon has had in 3D. I think obviously the Switch has a lot to do with that, based on the limited capabilities of the 3DS and just like the look that a lot of 3DS games tended to have.
Sure.
Based on the screen resolution and all that. So it definitely looks nice. I don't love the vibe of the world. It seems a little bit empty right now. Not many NPCs running around. That might have just been a trailer
thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Maybe this
whole trailer really, really, really seems like a tease. They show a lot. I appreciated it of the 7 minutes of the Direct. They really went into showing off a bunch of different areas and different Pokemon and just different things where it could have been just 1 minute and them talking about retrospective of the series for 6 minutes.
Right, they didn't
do that. They talked about Gen 8 and what it's going to be. Like the reveal of the starters, I thought that was really cool. But yeah, just the location isn't somewhere that I'm interested in. This countryside and all of that,
just
not my favorite style. But that's not going to stop me from playing this game. That's,
of course.
But it is not. Am I overhyped? No, I'm not. I would have almost even appreciated just going back to Japan in a console and something. But not back to a region we've seen before, but like a new region in Japan or something, just for the aesthetic of that. But I like the look of it. It seems like there's going to be this. This is such a tease that it hints at a lot of things. I think there's going to be a lot of customization with the characters' looks, which they've been kind of improving on the last couple generations. But this one, like just looking at the boy and the girl, like then their clothing, you're like, okay, there's going to be a lot there. In terms of Pokemon, I was kind of expecting it to be a fresh restart in the way that Gen 5 was, of there's going to be no Pokemon you've seen before. It's just they're all like there's 150 or whatever new Pokemon, which I think this kind of needs right now because we can't just have the same things over and over and over, or else people are not going to ever give the new ones a shot. Mm. It's just going to be like, where's my Pikachu? Where's my, you know, Alakazam or whatever the fuck, right?
Well, people love Pikachu.
Yeah, exactly.
And Alakazam.
And the first Pokemon you see here is Pikachu. In the wild. So I think that that's definitely a sign of like, hey, there's going to be new Pokemon, but there is also going to be a lot of old ones. We see a ton of old ones in this across the generations, which I think is a disappointing sign. It's an understandable sign, but I do think that it is yesterday I was talking about this.
This is going to set
gonna
the define next decade of Pokemon
games. And I think that we clearly see where we're going here. I was telling Kevin earlier, I was like, this is definitely a step forward. It's not a half step. It is a step forward. Okay. It's not in the direction I personally would have chose.
What do you want? What you wanted, like what? Like Breath of the Wild, as everybody always talks about?
But that sounds even too ambitious.
I want to get to what you want, but we have a whole bunch of people who wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to be part of the show. The 2038 Pokemon CEO writes in with three questions.
A fucking man.
You know this gentleman, right? He has a giant clock that he had people sign, and now he's dragging a desk around the world.
Nicholas, if I remember correctly.
I'm only going to refer to him as the 2038 Pokemon CEO. Number one. Tim, what are your thoughts on Shigeru Omori directing Sword and Shield? Context, Omori directed ORAS and Sun and Moon. What is ORAS?
Omega, Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, and Sun and Moon. You know, I think that those games, the Gen 3 remakes, Ruby and Sapphire, had their issues, but that was based more on the games, the original games themselves being, I think, a bit more at home on Game Boy Advance's smaller titles.
When
we're brought on with the bigger ideas with Mega Evolutions and stuff. They felt a little muddy to me, but I don't think that was the direction fault. And Sun and Moon, I really enjoyed. I thought that they tried a lot of things different, that they answered the cries of so many Pokemon fans of like, let's just not do gyms. They ate gyms and the four Elite Four and blah, 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 like the same thing over and
You're
over.
You're telling me I hate all the gym eating.
Gyms.
I hate all the gyms.
Gyms, Greg.
Sorry, I really did think you said you were feeding them gyms. I have not played deep enough into these Pokemon games.
But it tried something.
Eat this rock.
It tried something different, and I like what it did for the lore. I like what it did for keeping it a little bit unpredictable, not knowing exactly what was going to happen next. But I do still think that it suffered from the last couple generations of Pokemon's symptoms to me, which are it is a little overly kid-friendly. It is like the characters are speaking to each other in very just kind of corny ways. The dialogue is not good, period. And it's like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Pokemon's a kid's game. It's like, yeah, but like if you played Gen 1 through 4, I'd even say, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that hand-holdy and like weird.
The Sheep Whisperer writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, will Pokemon ever break out of its mold like how Zelda Breath of the Wild broke out of its mold, or will continue to get the same cut-and-paste version of Pokemon? Since Pokemon is so old and has a fan base that grew up with it, could there ever be a more mature take on the series for its older fans? Parentheses. I use the term mature for older or more complex system, not the way violence or sexual content. Are we ever going to see a grown-up in quotes Pokemon? See, is it ever going to take that step where it is... There is this core Pokemon thing. It is baby's first RPG, and then there is a different track for it that is, hey, here's not gritty reboot, we're killing fucking things, but...
Here's the thing, is like, I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely. I mean, seeing things like Detective Pikachu proves that something like that can exist. I think that is
that
actually...
there can be multiple SKUs.
A good example of a mature thing, not guns and violence and stuff. Yeah, but it's like, that world feels a bit more realistic. Whereas here we're just kind of getting a Pokemon game that's using the same assets that they made how many years ago at this point, like 7 years ago to work on the 3DS, and they like future proofed it. But at the time that sounded great, but now we're stuck with these canned animations that, you know, aren't great. And that's kind of sad. I feel like we'll probably not see it. Not because there's not a demand for it. There definitely is a demand for that. Mm-hmm. I think there's an equal demand for that to something like Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee.
Sure.
On different sides of the scale. But I think that the Game Freak team is just not big enough to be able to do something like Breath of the Wild. And I think that's why to expect that's a little silly, especially knowing that they are working on other games. And even in the Direct, they teased that there's
lots
more,
of other Pokemon news
more
in 2019.
Pokemon stuff in 2019.
What do you think that means? Is that Pokemon Go integrations? Is that more Let's Go stuff?
It's definitely more Pokemon Go stuff. I don't think that it would announce a Let's Go this soon.
I don't mean a sequel. I mean like DLC updates, whatever.
I don't know what they could add. That's not a sequel. We're going to get Johto, which is Gen 2. Let's go. Like that. Okay. It makes way too much sense not to do that. I just think that you can't overwhelm people with Pokemon. You can annualize it.
Yeah.
I think. But especially if you're trading off like core or not core and all that. But I don't think that you can jump in that soon. Because then there's like three Pokemon games in the conversation.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's confusing.
But the problem is Game Freak is so small that, like, I might be wrong about this. Someone
kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
I think there's
right
only
now
like,
you've only made one mistake. The nanobiologist says Chimchar is the monkey Tim referred to. That's not a monkey. That's a chimpanzee. Swish.
Okay, well, they refer to this little shit as the chimp Pokemon in the goddamn thing.
So. Oh, fuck!
There you fucking
it's go. A double-double, you're wrong. Everybody's fucked. Yeah. Kevin's the winner.
I don't know monkeys. I know monkeys about as well as I know Europe.
What about apes?
No, God, no. But I think Game Freak has 150 people working there.
Okay.
You got to imagine not all of them are developers. You got to imagine that team
somebody's
is then split into this, and right? But that it splits into the different teams working on different games for different reasons, right? So it's like Breath of the Wild, compare that to that. That is a huge, massive team that had years to work on one thing.
I hear you. I think even that was, I think... Take the breath out of the Breath of the Wild out of the conversation, right? It's just are they even making the baby steps to making this a more adult, a more mature, a more whatever you want to call it?
I know. So here's the last thing.
Lay it on me
to finish off.
I love this trifle you're making.
My point here is Game Freak's doing all this, right? It in order for us to get that more mature take or something, we would need Monolith Soft, the Xenoblade Chronicles guys, to come in and be like, we're going to make a Pokemon game in collaboration with Game Freak, and it's going to be a core mainstream RPG that like people are expecting, like adults
yeah.
in air quotes are expecting. Or some other
team. Not like that, Kev.
Or
like
And I mean, this is like super stupid. They don't have this in the wheelhouse or whatever, but like Rare coming in. And
sure.
I feel like there needs to be another studio that is their vision that they're trying to bring Pokemon into. And again, working with Game Freak, because these Pokemon games are great. It's like baby's first RPG and all this stuff. I feel like we get so used to using these terms to talk about them.
Yeah.
I do too. Like we that's just the way we do it. But it's like, these are not dumbed down, stupid experiences. No. These are great, super quality games.
And I think as the outsider to this, right, as someone who starts a lot of Pokemons and never finishes them, I feel, why change it, right? Because it's just printing money. Like, that's the thing. There's no impetus for them to change. There's no, hey, this one is performing less than the last one. We need to really start thinking through, right? Change and aggressive change comes from stagnation and the reflection on the business more than it does creative output, right? They are changing a little bit. It's a new thing. They're doing, like, there's enough tweaks in there that are keeping people like yourself and real hardcore Pokemon fans interested. As usual, when it comes out, I'm going to try it. I'm going to start it and see if it's the one that clicks.
And that's something that I think is cool with this one. There's so much going into it that I think might help you enjoy it more than you have in previous forays into the world. Like, it being on Switch, I do think is huge. Mm-hmm. This is more of a core RPG. We saw Pikachu. There's random encounters.
Yeah.
It is... Everything they showed in this teaser trailer was pretty much saying, hey, if you didn't like Let's Go, it's okay. This is coming for you, right?
Sure.
And I think that Let's Go was a little too simple for you to be jumping into, like, both from a battle perspective and just kind of like all the RPG elements, but also just the layout. Like, it was based on a game that came out in 1996 in Japan, you know, on a Game Boy. So everything's square, everything's tile, and you're playing on a widescreen Switch. It just felt empty. This shouldn't feel empty. This should feel like a great RPG experience. And I think, I'm not guaranteeing you're going to like it, but I do think that this one has more of a chance for you to get into it than maybe any of the other generations ever have. Especially because it'd be a modern time for you to be jumping in.
Your boy Morgan writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, my question is, with what little we know about this seemingly large entry, what are some of the things you guys hope they include? And what are some of the things in the trailer that disappoint you or have you worried? Did you see anything, red flags in the trailer where you're like, oof?
Well, it's not so much that I already kind of explained it, but I'm disappointed with the fire, water, grass starters. Yep. And I didn't love the vibe of the world, the weird, like, industrial feel. And, like, it just felt like, I don't really
steampunk.
Like, I don't like that. It's not even steampunk. It's kind of steampunk.
I know.
You know? Like, that's the thing. It's missing the fun part of steampunk. So I didn't like that. And this is such a tease. Now,
first glimpse, yeah.
Now, Pokemon, generation to generation, as somebody that has played, I think, all of them, they always make all these changes that, like, if you're just looking from the outside, it's copy and paste. It's not copy and paste. There's so many differences, especially on the levels of the battle system, and they always add different elements to it. But the problem is, once we get to the next generation, they take away 90% of the good stuff and then just replace it with something else. And I don't know why they continue to do this. The Pokemon following you thing is cool. They introduced it generations ago, took it out, brought it back for Let's Go, and now it's just gone again. Like, why would they do that? Now, in terms of the battle system and the Mega Evolutions and all that, it's like, that stuff adds a lot. It changes the gameplay, but then when they get rid of it, the next generation, it might as well have not happened. And it does feel like it's not so much copy and paste anymore. It's just kind of like you're copy and pasting, adding a bunch, and then deleting that part, right?
Yeah.
So that's weird. Kevin, I sent you some images.
Yeah. I thought you didn't want them anymore, so I'm glad that I kept them open.
While Kevin pulls up these images, I want to jump back into your wrong, because it's more that you're right, Tim.
Uh-huh.
Eat the Demon says, Game Freak is 150 people divided into two teams, so about 50-ish people per team.
Cool.
Well, no, that'd be 75 people per team.
No, but I mean, based off what I was saying, too, that a lot of those people aren't developers.
Fair.
Probably not 50.
But isn't everybody a developer? Isn't that what we learned at the Dice Awards? Fuck you. And then TommyBoy601 says, for the great monkey/ape debate, monkeys have tails, apes do not. So I didn't know Portillo is a monkey.
That's what I've been hearing. That's the word on
what
the street.
What do you got for me in images?
I want a tail.
So these are every time, especially with Nintendo, that big announcements are made, somebody on Reset Era or Reddit finds leakers that predicted what's going to happen.
They knew what was
going to happen. And it's like, it seemed fake at the time, but it's real. But what's cool about that is that we can maybe glimpse into the future about other things that might be true.
Okay.
Now, there's two different leakers here that have said things,
leak.
Not all of them are correct.
Okay.
Like, there's already some information we know that it isn't there potentially. Okay. let me continue. So here we go. It's like, this is it, believe it now or later. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. The region is Great Britain. Legendary Pokemon are Metal Snake and a Wooden Horse. There's armored evolutions, including Armored Charizard, Armored Mewtwo, Armored Flygon, Armored Zerora, and Melton ties into Armored Evolution and Legendary lore. So all this stuff's kind of cool. Armored Evolutions, it's like, okay, well, that just sounds like a different version of Mega Evolutions. Like I was saying, it's like take one thing in to put another thing out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's really weird. But otherwise, this seems pretty likely. The legendaries being those two things, that's fine. That's
wooden
cool.
Horse, yeah, right.
Yeah. Then this other one has a bit more information.
Okay.
And some of it seems like it's already been debunked, but perhaps not.
Okay.
So the game names are Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, which real quick, who the hell would buy Shield? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you said that in your thing, and I'm like, I agree. Everybody wants to be Sword,
Pokemon
right?
Pokemon Sword is way, way cooler. It's a region based
fans?
Off Scandinavia. Shield starters are a grass slash bug spider, a fire rabbit, and a water iguana.
Gotcha. Yeah,
Final evolutions are grass slash bug, fire slash electric, and pure water. Those things matter to like the hardcore.
Sure, okay.
The type matchups. And this gets really important later, Greg.
Okay,
Some Pokemon have two different elements, which really affect like their move sets.
A hybrid, they call them.
Allowing them to have different matchups.
Okay.
Which makes a lot of sense, right? The box legendaries are a dragon and a Pegasus. One is a dragon type, the other's a fairy. That's the thing that seems like it's been debunked because we've seen the logos.
Okay.
And they don't have those things. They're like weird, like wolf looking things on the sword and shield. But we haven't seen the actual box. So maybe there is a Pokemon on the box as well.
Okay.
There probably will be. It'll probably be a dragon and a Pegasus. There's a new and rare type of Pokemon in this region called elementals. There's elementals that represent one of each existing type. Three of these elementals will act as a second starter for you early in the game. So that's, again, cool. Kind of going into what I was talking about. You'll receive a flying, rock, or fighting elemental.
Okay, I'll take a flying rock.
So that's interesting because it's like, this is what I was talking about of like changing up the game to game early. Mm. And this might do it if it's early enough on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the full step I was looking for switching up the starters,
but it's different.
There's at least an idea that they realize the value in that. There's a new battle mechanic called Elemental Armors, and this sounds really interesting. At the cost of one of the elemental in your team slot, it will be equipped to a Pokemon on your team, giving it a secondary type of the corresponding element. So, for example, Lucario, who's a steel type, replaced with the dark type if equipped with a dark elemental. So you can take your existing Pokemon and switch up what their secondary type is, which is... That totally opens up the metagame of what the battle systems can be. And it's like, these are like huge changes that are actually really going to improve the game and make it not baby's first RPG.
Okay.
Like, this sounds like it could be really cool. Will the challenge be in the game to...
To justify all this? Yeah.
I don't know. But that's really cool. Also got an ability over the Pokemon's original example. Overgrow would be replaced with Solid Rock with the Rock Elemental equipped. This is all stuff that's very important at the pro level.
Sure.
Of
playing,
competitive and all that. And the evil team will be Vikings that simply try to conquer the region as well as seizing the legendaries. Sounds classic. That makes a lot of sense. I'm happy we'd be going back to villains that are actually, they're bad guys just trying to do bad things and not trying to overcomplicate the whole goddamn thing.
Sure.
I'm trying to take over.
You want some bad guys.
Give me them bad guys.
Give me
hamburgers. It's cool stuff. I'm very impressed with what they showed today because I think that there was a high likelihood it was going to look a lot worse than this and seem a lot worse than this. And it doesn't. Like, I do think that the existence of Let's Go kind of divided the fan base in a way of so many people were like, we want random encounters. It's stupid. There's no battles and whatever. And now that people are seeing this, it's like, we want to see the Pokemon on the field and fuck random encounters. And it's like, it does kind of suck because I'm hoping that this game includes both. I'm hoping you see Pokemon walking around and there's random encounters to fuck
nice,
you.
Okay.
That'd be great.
I got one more 2038 Pokemon CEO question for you, right? I'm reading comments from Pokemon fans about the seemingly lack of a third-person camera control. 2038 Pokemon CEO supports this. It makes sense since Pokemon targets an audience when given a traditional control scheme may become anxious. Do you think this means the Pokeball Plus will work? It would help the transition for fans who got into the series with Let's Go.
Yes.
So you think there's going to be no third person control?
I think he's nailing it there. Like, that's the reason is the Pokeball Plus and to potentially try to get it down to be people being able to play with one.
Sure.
Controller, which I imagine, or one Joy-Con, which I think that they will. It is pretty upsetting that, like, looking at it, it's like it seems pretty fixed camera and stuff. And I'm like, guys, come on, man! Like, with the open looking world like this, it's like, give us camera control. Like, that's such a lame decision. But
you don't support it like Pokemon CEO does.
What?
Pokemon CEO supports this decision, no? Didn't he say it? Yeah, I'm reading comments from... maybe he just supports that.
That's how I understood it.
Okay, I apologize. Be more clear in your fucking emails. Future Pokemon CEO, if you want to be here. There's a typo in there. You hear me? I can't believe you want to be running this company. I have one more question, and I know if you're not a Pokemon person, this is not about Pokemon. It's about release dates for Nintendo. Dan writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, as hyped as I am about Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, my question isn't about Pokemon, but about Link's Awakening. Pokemon is set to release in late 2019, which gives me hope that Link will awaken sometime soon. I doubt Nintendo will want to release the two games so close together, because let's be honest, Pokemon will destroy Link. So my question is, when do you think the two games will release? I think Pokemon will release in November and Link in May.
Oof. No way.
Yeah.
May is way too early. Pokemon November or October, I think, is a very safe bet. It gets weird with this because Nintendo almost doesn't care about the whole not competing with itself thing, especially when you get
and they aren't afraid of December.
Yeah, and especially when exactly.
They aren't afraid. Like, everybody wants their games out by Black Friday, except Nintendo's like, we don't fucking care.
Yeah, and it's like they know that during the holidays, people like parents are gonna buy both.
Yeah,
like, these games are gonna sell.
You think September maybe for Link?
August to October.
That's
September feels like the sweet spot.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That almost feels like they won't do it because they're Nintendo and they know that. You know, it's like they get weird with that shit. Also, Link's Awakening not gonna be
set the world on fire.
The world on fire sales wise.
Sure, of course not. Yeah,
it's gonna sell very well.
Yeah.
Probably be one of the highest selling Zelda games.
I'm super
of all
stoked
time,
for it.
But that's because of the Switch.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Okay.
I'm excited. That's good. Yeah, not May, though. Not May.
Okay. Number two on the Roper Report, the EVO 2019 lineup has been announced. The official games are BlazBlue, Crosstag Battle on PS4, Dragon Ball FighterZ, PS4, Mortal Kombat 11, PS4, Samurai Showdown, PS4, Soul Calibur 6, PS4, Street Fighter 5, Arcade Edition, PS4, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Switch, Tekken 7, PS4, and Under Night in Birth, X-Late, PS4. EVO 2019 will take place at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, August 2nd through the 4th, 2019. The registration for the event is now open. What is your initial reaction to that list of games?
It seems very comprehensive, but missing one key thing.
Key Lock, a.k.a. Mikey Phillips, writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, so I know this isn't typically the Fighting Games news show, but last night the EVO World Championship Tournament highlighted their top tournaments. I won't bore you with the anime games, but there was an interesting game that was left out. Super Smash Bros. Melee. It's crazy to think that EVO is going to drop the game that had the most peak viewers. Me personally, I'm excited Smash Ultimate is taking the spotlight, but I feel bad for the Melee players. But at the same time, I think it's time to have moved on. Thoughts? P.S. to all the fighting game best friends out there, go check out the Samurai Showdown trailer. It looks sick as fuck, and I can't believe SNK has the money to produce something like this and make a worldwide release early summer 2019, and that it's going to have the main stage EVO tournament when it launches so close to EVO. No Melee.
It's complicated, man.
It's time to move on.
Mikey brings up a lot of really solid points where it's like, you know, I don't want to say it's time to move on. It's not time to move on. There's a very competitive game there. The competitive scene has evolved over the years. Even in the last couple years, there's been so many shakeups of who the best in the world is on the Melee front. And so many different like things have come up tech-wise from the scene of like the wobbling and all this stuff that's like causing new controversies day in and day out in the Melee scene of the competitive gaming community. Having said that, Ultimate is out, and I feel like the more support there and the bigger a push Smash Ultimate gets, the more support it's going to get going forward on the front of patch notes and stuff from the from Nintendo for the fighting game community, right?
Yeah.
Or else it's just going to kind of pitter out if it's not the thing, right? So there you are splitting at least Nintendo's attention if you're having both of those there, right? And also Nintendo's going to want to support it a lot more if it is just Ultimate. Then there's also the divide of the Smash community between Melee and Ultimate, and it's like you don't want to kind of create that tension between them.
This is a completely ignorant question to somebody who doesn't pay attention to the fighting game scene, let alone the intricacies of the Smash community. Is there from the Melee people a pushback of like Ultimate's not the jam? This isn't what we want. Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, and a lot of them are the people that are like they're just Melee purists and they're like this is what I do. We play Melee. They're not gamers. They professionally play Melee.
Sure.
You know, and there's a lot of people that did make the jump. There's a lot of people that still do both. You know, but I'm sure that there was a lot of thought put into this from the EVO committee and from everybody, and like a lot of conversations. I'm sure many people are upset about it, but at the same time, I'm sure a ton of people are happy, especially on the Ultimate side, and a bit relieved that they don't need to worry about Melee. They don't need to focus on potentially competing in both games or whatever. And they're like, you know what? This is a sign that Ultimate's what I should double down on. The Ultimate scene's still kind of figuring itself out. And I think that like this is going to be a big opportunity for it to do that. I think that it will be the top viewed one this time.
Oh, yeah, totally. So. I don't think it's going to affect it. But I don't have a horse in the race. I've always said old game is old. Barrett?
Yeah, dude.
Thank you. Number three, Resident Evil 2 is still selling incredibly well. Capcom has announced today that Resident Evil 2 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC has shipped 4 million units globally. The Resident Evil franchise features survival horror games in which players utilize a variety of weapons and other items to escape terrifying situations. Cumulative sales for the games in the series now total 90 million units since the first title debuted in 1996. More than 20 years later, continuous support from the passionate fan base across the globe makes it one of Capcom's flagship game series. No real follow-up there. Good job, Resident Evil 2. You deserve it.
There might be a follow-up. Great game. Give me 1 second.
You deserve it.
There
like
we go.
We're at professional wrestling, remember?
Yes, I love that. Seven. Oh, by the way, we need to talk about WWE after the show.
Okay.
There's some fucking... WrestleMania is about to be dope as fuck.
Hell yeah. Roman Reigns is back.
So, Resident Evil 6 is like the game everyone always talks about of like, they went full action and fuck this, hate it, whatever. Sold 7.2 million copies.
Sure,
it was like, so it was one of those things of like the critics and the gamers at large. It's like, hey, well, it's sold. So why would Capcom not look at that and be like, this is what people want, right? Mm-hmm. But then we saw a change in Capcom over the last couple of years. We saw Resident Evil 7. Now we're seeing Resident Evil 2. I love seeing 4 million. That's a huge fucking number. Compare that to where Monster Hunter World was last year. It's like, it's very different scales, but it's just like that becoming Capcom's best-selling game of all time. Resident Evil 2 is going to have legs. I really wonder where it's going to end up selling.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good sign for the Resident Evil
franchise. At large. I'm excited for more, right? Resident Evil 7, I was like, oh my God, I love this so much. And then to have Resident Evil 2 come out and me be like, holy shit, like, I love this just as much, if not more, right?
Yeah.
Like, this game's so fantastic. I'm super stoked to see what they do with it. And it is a thing, like, I remember not too long ago, well, now it's been a long time, but I remember not too long ago on Kinda Funny shows being like, man, Capcom, what's happening with them?
Crap
they
crumb.
Seem like they could fall out real quick. Yeah. And then they turned it around, right?
There was,
they
actually doubled down quality. I would say 3 years where it was bad, and now they are just killing the game, man. We got DMC5 coming out soon. It's like, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Like, I hope if they knock that out of the park, that is just going to be such a they're back, bitches, moment, you know?
Well, speaking of things you can't wait for, but bad news. Number four, yep, Overkill's The Walking Dead is officially dead. If you remember... This PlayStation put out the thing saying, hey, this game's canceled. Then they were like, well, Overkill was like, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Today, Skybound, or actually maybe last night, Skybound put out this statement. As of today, we have terminated our contract with Starbreeze Studios and will discontinue all efforts on Overkill's The Walking Dead. Our creators and their stories are at the core of Skybound. And since 2014, we have worked hard to expand the world of The Walking Dead into an exceptional co-op action FPS. We did our best work with Starbreeze and resolved many issues that we saw with the game. But ultimately, Overkill's The Walking Dead did not meet our standards, nor is it the quality that we were promised. We are exceedingly sorry to our fans and share their disappointment in the game. We remain dedicated to providing our fans with the most premium quality content we can offer, and we'll continue to look for alternative video game options for the IP. So yeah, not coming to consoles, that's over. Done. Goodbye.
But it is on PC.
It's already out on PC.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
They're not like taking it away. Like,
cool.
You have it, you own it, it's fine.
Cool,
but, like,
cool.
It's no longer coming to consoles like it was.
Yeah.
And again, Starbreeze, where are they
going
to be in
What's
3 months?
Going on,
you know what
man.
I mean? Like, it does not look good on paper for them. So yeah, we'll see what happens and how that nets out. Number five. This PUBG is still trying to cross over with everyone in the world. Today they're crossing over with Horizon Zero Dawn. PUBG Corporation and Guerrilla Games are teaming up to bring skins from the award-winning Horizon Zero Dawn to the PlayStation 4 version of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, PUBG. From March 5th through April 5th, all PlayStation 4 PUBG players can receive free Horizon Zero Dawn content just for logging in, with additional content available by completing in-game challenges or purchasing directly. The full list of PUBG plus Horizon Zero Dawn content includes Horizon Zero Dawn Eclipse Mask. You can get this by playing 10 games of PUBG during the event period. Horizon Zero Dawn Eclipse Top. Every player who logs into the game during the event will get this item. Horizon Zero Dawn Eclipse Car in A98K. This can be unlocked for 8,000 BP. And then the Horizon Zero Dawn Pan. players who kill 10 opponents using the crossbow during the event period will receive the pan. You gonna log right in and get those?
Nah, I'm cool.
Nah, I'm good too. Thanks very much. Maybe if I could just unlock the entire Aloy skin
fun
just
stuff,
by
though.
Logging in, I might log in for it. But outside of that, nah, I'm not gonna do it. Number six, and finally on the Roper Report, although I will warn you, this is a doozy and a long one. Stick with me. THQ Nordic totally fucked up yesterday. This is from Nathan Grayson over at Kotaku. Edgy marketing decisions have a way of blowing up in companies' faces, but rarely do they so immediately and spectacularly detonate like this. THQ Nordic, publisher of games like Darksiders 3, decided to host an AMA on 8chan, an image board notorious for everything from Gamergate ties to stalking and harassment to child porn. Bafflingly, THQ Nordic thought it would go just fine. Predictably, it did not. The company announced its plan earlier today in a tweet, saying that, quote, the opportunity was here and we took it, and that, quote, we got approached in a very friendly and polite manner and were assured said person, parentheses, shout out to Mark, will take care of the nasty stuff. This prompted a wave of backlash from THQ fans. You ever do that where the word just does not sound right?
Yeah, you're like,
Mark, whoever he is, did not take care of the nasty stuff. The ensuing AMA contained pornographic imagery, Jesus. Hitler references and memes, copious questions about Lolly, racial slurs, and so much more. There were also more standard questions about THQ Nordic's future plans, which PR and marketing director Philip Brock replied to. In one case, a user said, quote, please don't censor any games nor appeal to the social justice crowd.
Sos just. That's the thing.
You guys are doing just fine as is, end quote. To which Brock replied, thanks, we'll try to stay that way. The content of 8chan's users' questions and posts is not at all surprising, given the board's history, something a PR person like Brock should have been aware of. In 2013, 8chan creator Frederick Brennan decided that 4chan, then regarded to be one of the internet's most lawless lands, had become too controlling and founded a free speech-friendly alternative. 8chan frequently takes the stance to its utmost extreme, to the point where it was blacklisted from Google search in 2015 for containing, quote, suspected child abuse content, end quote. When 4chan gave Gamergate the boot, many users relocated to 8chan, which still serves as a hub for Gamergate-related discussion. 2 hours after the AMA began, THQ Nordic issued an apology on Twitter. Quote, I personally agreed to this AMA without doing my proper due diligence to understand the history and the controversy of the site. I do not condone child pornography, white supremacy, or racism in any shape or form, wrote Brock, adding that he is terribly sorry for the short-sightedness of my, parentheses, exclamation, so emphasizing the my, decision, and promised to be far more vigorous in my assessment of these activities in the future. Brock further clarified his stance in a statement sent to Kotaku, quote, I do not condone child pornography, white supremacy, or racism in any shape or form. This was not about being edgy. This blew up, and I very much regret to have done it in the first place, end quote. Did you watch all this happen yesterday, Tim?
I didn't watch it happen. I heard about it.
Yeah, we were all running around doing our daily jobs and so on. I came back and saw the meltdown on Twitter of all this going on. My first reaction was when I had seen just people quote tweeting the first one of like, well, we don't know how this is happening. We're doing a thing on 8chan. Was, I know 4chan scares me. I don't know what 8chan is, but it sounds twice as bad as 4chan. And that was my thing of, I don't know. But I've never been... I would have done a Google search of what the fuck 8chan is if I was approached to an AMA on how. I would have found an article about it though, right?
Dunkin' Donuts, please.
What's going on? What's happening?
Did you see the Slack?
Is the microphone up to Andy?
Oh, yeah. I Slacked you to get me a refill.
Can you fill his coffee, Andy?
Oh, I thought you wanted donuts. Oh, okay. Well, real quick. Yeah. You know I don't watch the show, right?
Yeah, sure. You know I don't watch yours, so go to hell.
But did y'all talk about new Overwatch hero?
No, that came up earlier in the thing. Yeah, we're in the middle of a Roper Report and a serious thing.
The orange coffee.
I'll just turn it over to Ignacio Rojas.
Yes.
Kind of funny. Or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. What I would like to know is your opinion. How much is the company as a whole responsible for what happened? I've already seen multiple people on Twitter calling for a boycott of the company, gaming sites for covering their games, the big platform holder for publishing their games, and even going as far as calling out companies like Nickelodeon and Disney who license their IP to THQ Nordic. Do you think this is fair, or are people making this up to be more than what it is? Anyhow, I hope you're having a good one, Ignacio Rojas.
This is such a layered situation where there is clear rights and wrongs in certain bits of it, and then there is this more ambiguous level where it's like people are also allowed to their own opinions and allowed to say what they want in places they want to. 4chan, good example. 4chan, people think, oh, it's fucking evil. It's horrible. And it's like, well, it's not all evil and horrible. Like, even on today, two posts that we brought up and showed from 4chan.
Yeah,
I didn't find them on 4chan.
Sure,
yeah. I'm not a frequenter of 4chan. But 4chan is not just vile, horrible things, right?
Sure.
And I know we're talking about 8chan to be
completely keep going. You're doing fine.
To be completely transparent, I've never been to 8chan. I don't know.
Again, I did not know. With all due respect, I didn't know 8chan existed until yesterday.
I did know it existed, but like
I'm an old man though.
I didn't know that it was any different.
Before. Sure.
I didn't know that it existed because of the free speech.
Gotcha.
Didn't know any of that stuff.
Sure.
And I feel like, as a concept, that's not a bad thing, it existing for free speech, it trying to be this like lawless land or whatever. But then in execution, there is a problem because then that results in all of this shit. So even if there is good
hosting
stuff,
child pornography,
even if there is stuff that's not evil and horrible, it's like, well, there is a lot of stuff that's evil and horrible. And yeah, that is going to reflect all the other things. So I guess the point that I'm making here is you need to know where you're going. And this apology would make a lot more sense if 8chan wasn't already associated. You can't go into that and not have that history.
If you're doing an AMA,
you should know that bit.
Even with the kickoff, right?
Thank you.
Even with the kickoff of, I can't find it right here. Where am I looking for? Here it is. The company announced this plan saying the opportunity was here and we took it. It was very much like a, hey, we're doing this thing. It's weird and out there. So you know 8chan's not Reddit. You know 8chan's not like the normal place for these things to happen. Otherwise, why would you be tweeting about it that way?
Yeah.
Which is weird. And so like, here's what.
But again, there's an innocent side to that where it's like, I mean, let me put it this way.
Sure.
If someone was like, Tim, do you want to do an AMA on 4chan for Kind of Funny? I would definitely have a gut check of like, I need to look into this. This doesn't sound like a great idea. But that's only because I know as much as I do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, oh, 4chan's one of the most popular like places in the world. It's like, yeah, there's bad stuff on it, but we can be the good stuff on it. You know,
yeah,
that would be my reaction to that.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not necessarily that he knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to be this edgy guy. And I think that there is, and like, I hate that I'm saying this, but there is like, I think some side to this where it's like people are just bandwagoning and jumping on this and like being like, oh, well, he obviously fucking knew. Fuck this guy. Like, whatever. It's like, well, there is more to this. You can't just assume that they're the far right edge lords, blah blah blah. It's like there is some type of murky middle ground to it.
Sure. The thing about it for me, like, I had seen the fallout, and mainly I saw it as a PR gaffe, right? I'm like, oh my god.
Yep.
And like, you know, Steph Tinsley tweeted about like, not about this, but about this. I'm just like, usually when somebody, and this is paraphrasing, usually because she's in PR, usually when somebody else fucks up in a PR thing, you know, we don't pile on because we know it could be us another day.
Yeah.
And she used that meme of that kid who's like this, you know what I mean, with his like veins popping out. She's like, everybody I know today in PR.
Yeah.
Because obviously you want to stay away from it. But like, for me, it was like, oh, it's a weird gaffe. That's all right. And then it was Jeff Grubb over at VentureBeat, who here's my take on the whole thing, right? Is like, I think it all, I was not even a bystander to all this. Totally caught it later, like reading about it through the thing, blah, 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 blah. Jeff Grubb over at VentureBeat put up a whole thing of, not the news about it, as everybody's been doing, but also his take on it, which I thought was valuable as somebody who, I have no opinion in this. I didn't even know if 8chan existed until yesterday. I don't know this guy from Adam, blah, 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 right? He sums it up well here, right? This is how he closes it. I don't believe Brock. He says in his apology that he didn't do his due diligence and that this isn't about being edgy. But if he just Mr. Magood his way onto this website, why do his answers echo his it's a misogynistic edgelords? I don't know. He didn't apologize for that. Because Grubb's thing lays out the
Mr.
fact
Magood
that...
Mr. Magood is the...
It's great. It's really great, right? If you're too young to know Mr. Magood, come on. It's interesting because that provides so much... His article provides so much context that it wasn't just, hey, we're doing this thing on 8chan. I don't know what the fuck it is. Hey, I'm answering questions about THQ on Nordic on 8chan. It was him respond. Like, somebody put up, you know, big boobied artwork that I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know if it was meant to be underage or whatever. And he responded. It was about lollies, which from Jeff's article or somebody's article in a link, I understand now is about underage people.
Yes.
And he responded to that. Like, it looks like you already got them. It's like, why are you? It's almost like if the only slip up had been this one of the, please don't censor any games nor appeal to the social justice crowd. You guys are doing fine as is. If it was, thanks, we'll try to stay that way, right? Even me, I can make an argument of like, he's saying thanks, we'll try to keep doing fine as we are,
honestly,
right?
Like, that to me is a perfect example of, and this is me devil's advocating my beliefs, I don't think that's cool. I personally don't think either.
But I can make you a case where
if Brock feels that way, he's entitled to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I don't feel like the whole like, oh, you're a fucking asshole because of that. It's like, cool, we can think you're a fucking asshole, but that doesn't make him wrong.
Yeah.
Right. But when it is replying to all of the other stuff, the bad stuff, it's like you're either aware of this site or you're okay with what's on it. And for you to say, I don't condone this, this, and this. Although, did he say he doesn't condone the lolis? I don't know.
Child pornography, which I'll put a loli in the category.
Okay, that's fair.
What I'll do to end this, like, Ignacio asked, like, what do you think should happen to the company, THQ Nordic, and all this stuff? What I will do is echo some of the great thinkers of our time, the New Day from the WWE. Which, if you remember, when WWE reinstated Hogan and did all this stuff, they put up a multi-image text post, right? Of like, here's where we are on this, where we're not happy, we're not sad, it's just happening, and this is what it is. But one of the things, and I'm paraphrasing again, they put in there, right, is like, everybody makes mistakes, but to judge and give forgiveness, or not even forgiveness, like to understand where we're going from here with any relationship, it's not about words, it is about actions.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're gonna be paying attention to see if Hogan, in this instance, for the New Day, actually is going to act like a better person and make it good on these words he's using, right? And I feel like for the first time of me learning about who this guy was, whose
Brock.
Name Brock, right? Yeah, like I don't know him from Adam, and now this has all happened and was an innocent mistake. Is he also an HN user? I don't fucking know, but like now you just have to pay attention, right? And I don't think it should be a one strike and you're out, right? We've talked about from the beginning that what the fuck's THQ Nordic doing?
Yeah.
Like, they're being very interesting, buying all these weird IPs. How are they making money? Yada, yada, yada.
Who the fuck is Brock? Like, that's the most important thing is, like, we don't know THQ Nordic. Who the fuck is Brock to us? Like, this sucks. We should hold him accountable, all that stuff. Like, keep an eye. If his name comes up again, we should be aware of the past. Yeah. But THQ Nordic, it's not their fault. You know,
and that's the other thing, too.
It's not Nickelodeon's fault. It's not any of these other people that are being brought up.
I think it was. This is Kotaku's article. Somebody else had this up where they had actually gotten into Lars, who I think is the CEO of THQ Nordic, but I could be wrong. Kindoffunny.com/wrong. And asked him for a comment. And his comment was like, Brock's already put out a statement. That's the statement kind of thing. So it is a thing of, too, of, when one person in a company does something really weird and obviously a terrible decision, that doesn't represent the company as a whole.
But it affects the company.
Of course it affects the company as a whole, but let's see how the company responds and what they do, right? You know what I mean?
Like that's where it gets complicated. It's like Nickelodeon, Disney, who license their IP, it's like they're getting all this shit and gaming sites are calling out the THQ Nordic as a whole. It's like, man, in the same way the PR people are having that like feeling, it's like I imagine everyone at THQ Nordic that doesn't agree with this. Like, you
what the fuck? Why do we do this? Why do we do this?
Come on. Yeah. And also, where was Matt? Where was this Matt character?
Hey, shout out to Matt. Shout out to Matt though, right? Is that right? Yeah, shout out to Mark.
Mark.
I was like, that's not right. Usually here's where I do a transition, but this has been a great show. So we've been sprinkling in the Pokemon questions. I'm going to give you the ads right now. Let's talk about our sponsors, starting with Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most don't do it properly. Kind of funny. We love Quip. How much do we love it, Tim?
A lot. I used it this morning.
Me too.
Not too long ago, actually, right before I came in here.
Oh, you run late.
My whole day with exporting with the Pokemon. Yeah. It was a nightmare. And also, I didn't brush my teeth yet.
Gross.
My mouth is feeling all nasty. I regretted that decision almost instantly. But then once I brushed with that Quip, 30 seconds each quarter of my mouth, every 30 seconds it would do the little...
It does a pulse.
Sonic pulse.
It's a two-minute timer,
boom,
so make
boom,
sure you
boom,
brush
boom,
for
boom.
The 2 minutes.
I'm feeling fresh and clean.
It also comes with
so
a multi-use cover that works as a stand, mounts to mirrors, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go. There's no clunky charger. It runs for 3 months on a single charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule for every 3 months for $5. A friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. I'm excited about that because I've always been bad about switching out my other toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love Quip and why they're backed by 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/games. Harry's is our other sponsor today. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about shaving. Harry's founders were tired of paying up for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. They knew a great shave doesn't come with gimmicks like vibrating heads, flex balls, or handles that look like spaceships. Tactics that the leading brand has used to raise prices for decades. They found that by combining a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price, they've blown up. Tim uses them. Mm-hmm. He loves trimming that trademark Tim Tam beard with Harry's and gets those blades delivered to his door. Join the 10 million people who have tried Harry's. Claim your offer by going to harrys.com/gamesdaily. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. That's half the price of the Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. All Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love them, you can send them back and get a full refund. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, like the weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/gamesdaily. Make sure you go to Harry's, HRRYS.com/gamesdaily, to redeem your offer and let them know Tim Tam sent you to
Tim Tamaroo.
Tim?
Yes.
I'm excited to see you shave that beard off again one day with a Harry's blade. But it's going to happen in so long, and I want something more immediate, like games and stuff like that. So where do I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Money Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today! Over in Animal Crossing Pocket Camp Mobile, you're getting Happy Homeroom. It's a major free update that introduces Happy Homeroom, a newly added interior design minigame where designers in the making can showcase their eye for creativity. War Tile is coming to PS4. Tech support, Error Unknown is coming to PC, Mac. That's just PC gaming in general. That was an editorial for me. It's a joke. Calm down. Deponia Doomsday comes to PlayStation 4.
Deponia Doomsday?
Yonder. The Cloud Catcher Chronicles comes to Xbox One. The Far Kingdoms Awakening Solitaire comes to PC. Hades Star comes to PC and Mac. And then Million to One Hero comes to PC and Mac.
Wow.
New dates for you. Metamorphosis is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch, fall 2019. And then Phoenix Wright, the Ace Attorney Trilogy, will launch digitally for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on April 9th in the West for $30. Capcom has announced. I got it from Gamatsu. Thank you, Sal. Deals of the day for you. They've announced both the Xbox Games with Gold and the PlayStation Plus March games. So here we go. Xbox Games with Gold for March. Adventure Time, Pirates of the Ender... March 1st through the 31st on Xbox One. Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2, March 16th through April 15th on Xbox One. Star Wars Republic Commando, March 1st through the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And then Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, March 16th through the 31st on Xbox One and Xbox 360.
Did you ever beat Rising?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Metal I didn't Gear even Rising. Play much of it, dude.
Oh my God, I loved it so much.
I'm not an action guy. I was like, this isn't really what I want to do.
I loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it. But it's one of those games that I'm like, I don't know if I beat it. I can't remember the end.
The ending, yeah.
You know? And it's like, that was during a time when a lot of games were coming out and stuff. But like, I feel like I should know that. But like, I can't imagine not beating it. I put so many hours into it. Maybe you can re-release it somewhere.
PlayStation Plus games for March read like this: Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered and The Witness. Remember, this is the end of all the other ones. So that's it. PlayStation 4, you're getting Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered and The Witness. Then, as a reminder, you are running out of days. PlayStation 3 and Vita games are no longer part of the monthly free games lineup for PlayStation Plus. If you haven't added the ones from February to your PS3 and Vita, you have until March 8th to do so. So get on that if you want those final run of PlayStation 3 and Vita gamey games for yourself.
Gia Harris writes in to her Twitter, and she tweets, I woke up at 6 a.m. to hear Tim Getty's whispering Firestarter repeatedly from behind our closed bedroom door, and it was the most disconcerting thing. It's a true story.
That's true. Yeah, I saw. Maybe if we file this the thing, we'll fix it, and you can actually watch Tim sing Firestarter as he watches the Pokemon directs. Oh, we did a good job of sprinkling in reader mail, so I'm jumping straight to squad up. Ooh. If you didn't know, this is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give us your name, username, platform choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games, or like this one, hangs out in IRL. Corbin writes in, he needs more help on Reddit. It reads like this. I mean, the Reddit name is nibrock013. A squad up success story for you. On the Kind of Funny subreddit, Carlene reached out looking for some best friends in the Charlotte area. I returned the call, we messaged a bit, and this past weekend we met up at a local brewery. We had a great time talking about video games, Kind of Funny, WWE, and most importantly, gawked at all the adorable puppies everybody else brought in. If you are in the Charlotte area, hit us up on Reddit! That's Nibrock, NIBROC013, or Carlizabeth, Carlizabeth. Hit him up on Reddit. Hang out in Charlotte. Have a good time. Tim?
Yes.
We ask everybody watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Zaire tries to correct my pronunciation on Blaze Blue. I'm aware of how it's pronounced. It's an old Ryan Clements joke I thought real fans would like. Zaire, not a real fan. It's been discovered.
I never fucking remember. You guys have corrected me every single damn time.
I'm just letting you know.
I think it changes.
Zaire says the new Overwatch hero is news. No, I'm aware of that. Baptiste was revealed a couple days ago, and when I watched the video trying to give you the news, I could not come up with the news because it wasn't any news. It was no release date. Hey, Baptiste there, and somebody's like, he's a character reskin, and I'm like, this is not clear. There is no press release, and I can't find an article about it. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
The nanobiologist says the CEO of THQ Nordic is Lars Wingfors. Thank you. That is true. I don't care how Adventure Time pronounces its pirates and whatever the hell it is. They should have spelled it like something a stupid person like me could read. Lord of Pwn says it's Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered that's available on PlayStation Plus.
A lot of people saying that.
Oh, okay, good. If that's then, that's the first I've heard of it, and we'll continue on then. AlBob875 says a new date. Saints Row the Third full package is coming to Switch on May 10th. That's very interesting. That'd be a fun one to have on the go.
That's it. We nailed the show.
Yeah, we crushed it. Again, nanobiologist now trying to correct something I talked about before. Oh, no, he's talking about this documentary, but that's not news. I'm not going to do that. What's up, everybody? That's been Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, we urge you to be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can submit your questions, bad PSA names, I almost said hit of the week. There's a fucking throwback for you. What do we call it now? Squad up.
Mm-hmm.
All that jazz. Of course, you can watch live for free, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch live, or not live, but for free, youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com. You can listen for free MP3 services around the globe. If you hate the ads, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get the show ad-free as a video and MP3. Tomorrow, I'm joined by Andrea. Friday, cool. Joined by Frantham.
Oh, shit.
The Frantham is coming Fridays. Through.
Yeah. Brand Friday.
Yeah. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.